If you take your Bibles tonight, I want to kind of look at something here in the book of Esther. If you look at chapter number 2, we finished up, or we're looking at verse number 12 there, referring to where it says here in Esther chapter 2, verse 12, we'll read it. Now when every maid's turn was come to go in to King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh and with other things for the purifying of the women. Came every maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given to her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women, to the chamberlain which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the daughter of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Hegai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, I pray you just lead, God, and direct. Dear God, give us what we need. Lord, as we look at your word, I pray you'd open our eyes and our ears and our heart. Dear God, that we can behold wondrous things out of this precious Bible, dear God. So Lord, help us now. Lord, I ask for your help. Lord, I pray you clear my mind and thoughts, dear God, and I'd say exactly what you'd have me to say, no more, no less. So please help us, dear God, guide us and direct. And we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So last week we were looking at the oil of myrrh, and I kind of want to finish up with it this evening, talking about the oil of myrrh and get into some other things here. Bear with me here. I set up a, let me see if I got it right now. Oh yeah. All right, here we go. I tried to do it to where I think everybody can see it. If you got glasses back there, there's a couple of things I wanted to put together, and I just kind of wanted this lesson here tonight to be put in a PowerPoint presentation. You know, when I used to teach in a juvenile center, I often liked to put pictures with what I taught. And I think sometimes it helps us to keep in our mind better what the Word of God says, or what the Word of God is trying to get across. But the oil of myrrh, one of the last things that the oil of myrrh does is the oil of myrrh will help protect against corruption and decay. So it's been known to be used in the past. Here we find with Esther that she was there 6 months with the oil of myrrh. And I want to look at it just for a few moments this morning or this evening, about how staying and walking in the Holy Spirit will help us to keep from corruption and decay in our life. If you take your Bible, I want you to look over at, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 33. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Now, like I said, the oil of myrrh will help prevent decay and corruption. But look what the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians 15, 33, which brings a lot of corruption, I think, in a lot of people's lives, is here found in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. The Bible says this. It says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." So Paul's telling the church here, deceived, and he says, don't be deceived. Evil communications will corrupt good manners. Now, the word corrupt means to change from good to bad, or entice from good and allure to evil. And brethren, there's a lot of things out there today. Now, listen, this only applies for those that are striving to do the right thing, or those that want to live godly. Now, if you don't want to live godly tonight, I'm just wasting your time. But if you're striving to live godly and you're striving to live holy before God, you got to keep yourself from being corrupted. And there's a lot of things in this world that's going to try to allure you away from what is good and godly and right to what is bad, and will bring decay and corruption into your life. Now take a look at that picture there. Ain't nobody in this room in their right mind would begin to try to eat that apple or pick that apple. Everybody, I think, if you saw that at the grocery store, I think everybody in this room would pass by that apple and would have nothing to do with it, because of the decay and rottenness that it's showing. But this apple, in some senses, can represent our Christian life. How many Christians are or look or act like that apple right there? And a lot of people are just going to walk right on by it because evil communications corrupt good manners. You know what manners means? The word manners means your behavior, your conduct, your course of life in a moral sense. So it says evil communication. That word communication means your conversations, your associations, your company. Those people that you might spend time with, if they're of the evil nature, they're going to corrupt your good manners or your behavior and your conduct. You're not, brethren, going to bring those people up to you. They're going to bring you down to them. That's a fact. Listen, if I got Brian, I used this illustration before. If I have Brian over here and I'm trying to pull him up and he's trying to pull me down, chances are 100% he's going to get me down before I'm ever going to get him up. And that's what our associations will do. Not just associations that we can see face to face with, but associations with our phone. Those that we make contact with on our phone, or what we make contact with on our phone, if it's of an evil nature, it's going to corrupt our good manners, our behavior, and our conduct. Take your Bible, look at Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 28. The book of Jeremiah, flip over to Jeremiah and look at chapter 6 and verse number 28. Jeremiah 6, 28. Jeremiah chapter 6 and look at verse number 28. Look what the Bible says here about corruptors. It says, they all are grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. They are all corruptors. Look, anybody that you might spend time with that's a revolter, and you would say, well, what is a revolter? Anybody that goes against legitimate authority. So the Bible says that they're all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. A slander is a false tale or report maliciously uttered, tending to injure the reputation of another. Listen, we got slander all over the place today. People putting out false reports on other people just to slander their reputation, or to put a stain on their reputation. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So, brethren, I wouldn't spend much time with those that are considered revolters or even slanders, because it's going to affect you and your spiritual walk. You see, not walking in the Spirit, not walking in the Spirit is going to create that right there. You see, now I got two apples up there. Evil communication corrupt good manners. One bad apple will spoil another apple, will spoil another apple, will spoil another apple. And so evil, Paul said, be not deceived. Evil communications will corrupt good manners. Look, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And those that are revolters or slanders or spend time bringing down authorities, you better be careful with that, because it's going to affect your spiritual walk. Now take your Bible and look at 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel 11, and look at verse number 1. 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse number 1. 2 Samuel 11, 1. The reason I'm going to these scriptures right here is because we're looking at the oil of myrrh, and this oil of myrrh is to bring purification to Esther before she goes into the king. And the reason we're spending a little bit of time here again this evening to finish this up with the oil of myrrh part and the spices and the odors is that these women were to go through this purification process in order so when they stood before the king, hopefully they would get picked to be queen. That was the whole intention of all these virgins being gathered together, being brought before the king. The hope of every one of those young women was the hope that I go to the king and he's pleased with me and he makes me his queen. That's the whole purpose of them going through this purification process. And brethren, When we don't walk in the Spirit, it puts us in a very precarious spot. A position more often than not that will lead to sin, wounds, and corruption, and possibly death if not checked immediately. And that's for Christians. We can look at it and say, well, I can just wing it this time, or a little sin won't leaven the whole lump. But if you're not circumspect and you don't stay on top of things and don't walk in the Spirit daily, corruption is slowly going to creep in. Look at 2 Samuel 11, verse number 1. It says, "And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, 'Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?'" Here we find David taking it easy for one night, not decided not to go out to battle, which is where he should be leading his nation, leading his people. It's a time that kings went forth to war. David said, "I'll take this one off." That takes it off. But the problem is, he tarried at home when he should have been out there on the battlefield where God desired for him to be. And it came to pass in the evening time that he rose off his bed and he saw a woman. Now, that's not sin. Brethren, that's not sin. But what happened is David didn't turn his eyes. David didn't go back in the house. David stayed there and he lusted after this woman. And then he calls her or sends servants to go get her. Then he gets his second warning. His servants say to him, "That's another man's wife. David, this is not right what you're doing. She's another man's wife. That's Uriah. That's his wife, David." He says, "Go get her." And those of you know the story, he sins, commits adultery with her, gets her pregnant, and ends up killing her husband. Now you say, what did that do? Take your Bible, look at Psalm chapter 38. Sin will always bring corruption. You cannot get away with sin without it affecting you in some way, shape, or form. Look at Psalm 38, and look what David writes here in Psalm 38, verse number 1. Psalm 38 and verse number 1. Psalm 38, verse 1. "O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and they pressed me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities are gone over mine head, as an heavy burden they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness." David's body got corrupt. His wounds stink because of corruption. Some think that he got some type of sexually transmitted disease. Some think that's what it's talking about here in Psalm 38. Either way, we know that he shouldn't have did what he did. He shouldn't have taken Bathsheba to wife. He shouldn't have committed adultery with her. And he definitely shouldn't have killed her husband. But David let it happen, and it brings corruptness to him because of his foolishness. Brethren, we don't want corruption coming to us. We want to walk in the Holy Spirit of God and have his unction always. Take your Bible, look at 1 James chapter 13. James chapter 1, verse 13. James 1, and look at verse number 13. Having an unction from the Holy Spirit of God. That's definitely what we need today. We need an unction from the Holy Spirit of God, power with God. David or Paul said, in demonstration of the Spirit and power. But sin will bring death to that power. Sin will bring death to that power. Look at James chapter 1 here and verse number 13. Look what the Bible says. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. The Bible says, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You know what? You have to be very, very careful, brethren. Today, it's not like it was 100 and some years ago. You got things today being flashed in your face all the time, trying to entice you away from the things of God. Yes. And when, if you, look, brethren, there's nothing wrong with being tempted. There's nothing wrong with being tempted. Actually, everybody's going to get tempted. The problem is when you give into that temptation. When you yield yourself to the temptation, okay, now that's where you're letting lust conceive. But if you do not give into that temptation, you turn from that temptation, that is not sin. Now look at verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, when lust hath conceived, that's a very interesting thing there. A seed being planted in the mind, if it's conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And if it's not checked, brethren, if it's not checked and rooted out quickly, that sin will, when it's finished, will bring forth death. Brother, I said it before, the devil wants nothing more than to plant something in your mind, and then you take it and start running with it. And that could be anything. There are a lot of sins in the Bible. A lot of sins in the Bible. One of the major sins that I think God really hates is murmuring and complaining. So if God, because some might say, well, I won't lust after a woman or I won't lust after a man. These things don't get me. But a revolter, a slander, a murmur, a complainer, those things God hates just as much as what David did. Right? So if the devil can plant something in your mind that's not true, but you think it's true. I'll give you a perfect example. My pastor used to say it all the time. Well, my pastor didn't shake my hand this morning, so he must be angry with me. He must not like me. He must have something against me today. There's something there. That's the enemy putting that in your mind. It could have been, I forgot, it's busy with something, something else happened, or it could have just been an innocent thing that happened. But you see, the enemy, if he can plant that in your mind and then you start running with it, now he's got you. And then you start maybe murmuring, complaining, pouting, and you're going down that wrong path that's going to mess with your spiritual walk. That's going to hinder that unction of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, precarious. How many would buy that house right there? I'll sell it to you. At a good price. Brethren, but our lives, brethren, we don't realize sometimes our lives are right there like that. And you know what? That didn't happen overnight. You know how that happened? When those waves came in slowly but surely, sometimes a storm would bring it in, but slowly the waves come in, they wash away a little bit and take it out. Wash away a little bit, take it out. And that's what happens a lot of times in our lives. Sometimes it's just the little things over a long period of time, and before we know it, we're like this house right here. Like, how do we get in this position to where, how am I going to fix this situation? Now, with this house right here, they actually did fix the situation. They came in and somehow, I don't know how they did it, amazing, but they were able to move that house. Because if they didn't move it, it was going to come crushing down. Brethren, these are some other things that the oil of myrrh will do. It kills bacteria. It's been known to support oral health, helps heal skin sores, eases pain and swelling, antiseptic to clean and treat wounds. It even helps stop bleeding when it's in a paste form, but it's also known for its sweet fragrance. It's also known for its sweet fragrance. Take your Bible real quick and look at Psalm 52, or I'm sorry, Psalm 119, verse 108. Psalm 119 and verse 108. A fragrance, a smell. Psalm 119, verse 108. 119, 108. The Bible says here, it says, "Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments." So the psalmist here is saying, "Lord, I pray that you'll accept my freewill offering of what? My mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments." Take your Bible and look over at Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Flip over a few pages to the beginning of the book of Psalms and look at verse number 14. Remember, oil of myrrh puts off a sweet fragrance. And we ought to be and try to be careful with our words. Look what Psalm 19, verse 14 says. It says here, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Do you see what God looks at and what God sees? Because David says here, he says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart." What's coming out our mouth and what our heart is meditating upon, it's either acceptable or not acceptable before God. And David prays the Lord and says, "Lord, I pray that it's acceptable because you're my strength and you're my redeemer." You'll lose strength, brethren, when your mouth is saying words it ought not to be saying. Brethren, that's a hard look, brethren. I'll just be honest with you. And I know I said a lot, but that thing right there is the hardest thing in the world to control, is your tongue. You know? Not only the tongue, but the attitudes behind the tongue. We're in such a society today that it's so quick to where if our way isn't done instantaneously, our first reaction is to complain about it. Because it didn't happen right now, I'm gonna say something that's gonna come out of my mouth that's not gonna be pleasing to God. And it doesn't have to be a curse word. Oh, come on! God sees the heart. You're being impatient in traffic, and you say, "Oh, come on, what are you doing?" Some people won't look at me right now. Oh, brethren. Look, how merciful and long-suffering is God. Amen. And it's like it's barely coming out your mouth, and the Lord's like, And I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. I should. Brethren, I have a hard time with it because I used to be a state trooper. And there's nothing more than, I mean, it wants me sometimes to throw a blue light on the top of my car and run you down. Brethren, it takes all I got sometimes. Sometimes I thank God for my wife. She's like, "Just..." Yeah. I'll give you a little story. I was taking Miss Mary. Oh, we dropped off Miss Mary. I don't know, it was a couple weeks ago. Pull up to an intersection after we drop Miss Mary off. Somebody pulls beside me because they get mad because I can't pull out of traffic because there's cars coming. And he mouths off at me and I'm... She's like, "Calm down. Calm down. Yep, you're right. You're right. Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have had that attitude." But brethren, that's what God's looking for. God's looking for, number one, for not to get to that point. But if you get to that point, check it quick. Amen. Right? Because God very easily could look down and go, saying, "You do that to me all the time. You don't listen to me. Or you mouth off to me, and I don't take you out." Brethren, that's a serious thing with the Lord, because so often we think Lord, the Lord is looking just at outwardly what we do, and all he can see is what is done in the physical realm outward. But brethren, before it ever gets to the outward, it starts right here and right here. And the Lord sees this right here before it ever comes out in any type of action. The Lord sees right away when the heart starts drifting away. The Lord sees right away when the thoughts start going the wrong way, because he knows your thoughts. God knows your thoughts. That's scary in itself. That's why the Bible says to bring every thought into captivity. Bring it into captivity because the Lord sees what's going on there so that it doesn't conceive and cause you to regret something. Keeping yourself immersed in that oil of myrrh, that Holy Spirit of God. Take your Bible, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and look at verse number 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and verse number 14. Second Corinthians 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are us the savor of death unto death, and to the other, the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Brethren, what we preach tonight and what we talk about tonight, to some people it's going to be death unto death. But to those that are saved, hopefully it feeds you, it strengthens you, it encourages you, and it helps push you forward to try to be a sweet savor unto Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, take your Bible and look at Psalm 52 and verse number 1. Psalm 52, 1. You know what? I'm going to skip that tonight. Let's go ahead over to Matthew, or back to Esther real quick. Back over to Esther chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Esther chapter 2. Look at verse 13 and 14 here. I read them earlier. But look what the Bible says here in verse 13. It says, "Then thus came every maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house." So the Bible says here in verse number 13, which is important when we get over to Esther, every maiden had an opportunity to get what she wanted before she went into the king's house. So I don't know what all was at her disposal. I don't know if there was a bunch of closets there. I don't know if there was a bunch of shoe racks there. I don't know everything that these women had access to, but I would think it probably was quite a bit of stuff because you're going in before the king. Well, these women, these young virgins, had the choice of anything they wanted to pick out before they went into the king. They could choose whatever they wanted. It was at their disposal before they went into the king. But this is the key that they were looking for in verse number 14. This is what every one of them were shooting for. In the evening, she went in, and on the morrow, she returned into the second house of the women to the custody of Sheashgaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. Look what the Bible says here. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name. Now, as they each went in there, the only time they were allowed to come back to the king is if he delighted in her and then called her by name to come back into his presence. Brethren, I want you to take your Bible, and if you will, please look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Brethren, someday, look over here at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I know I'm going through a lot of Bible, but I think it's important to go through a lot of Bible. All right? And keep it safe. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, I want you to keep this in your back of your mind as we're getting ready to read these things. I want to do those things that delight my Lord, and I like to be called by name. Amen. Just bear with me as I say that. Say, well, he's going to know all. Just bear with me as I try to talk about this. These women, they could only come back to the king if he delighted in her and he called her by name. She just couldn't come back up into the presence of the king. And what was given to them, everything was given to them at their disposal to try to please the king. And that's the same thing for us today that are saved. Everything is given to us at our disposals. We have all the tools we need as believers to do those things that will delight our King and please Him. And it's found right here in His book. Right here in His book, Genesis to Revelation. This is your learning manual. This is your SOP, standard operating procedure. It's all found in this book. That's why this book is so important. And that's why the devil wants to destroy this book. And I'm referring to the King James Bible. Because remember we read there over in 2 Corinthians, we're not as many which corrupt the word of God. I'm going to try to give you Bible with everything that I teach and preach, and hopefully it'll be in context and won't be out of context, and there won't be no error with it. Why? Because I want to do what's in this book so that someday when I'm called before my King, that He'll delight in me and what I've done down here, and it'll be a sweet smell to Him, and He'll find in me something that He loves because I strive to live for Him. And then He calls me by name. Take your Bible here and look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 and look at verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 1. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You want your deep key of knowledge and understanding to do those things that God wants you to do? Number one, be faithful. Be faithful. And whatever God gives you, whatever God puts upon your heart, however God leads and directs and guides you, be faithful. That is what one of the things that our King is looking for. Verse 3. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Look at verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praises or praise of God. Don't judge nothing yet. Don't judge nothing yet. Brethren, that's a verse right there, number 5. That's a verse. Because we might look at things and think, brethren, we might look at people, we might look at situations and say, man, they got it all together. They love God. They're serving God. They're on fire for God. They're doing good. They got a heart for the things of God. And the whole while, it might just be a facade and underneath is corruption. And you don't see it. And then somebody else you might look at, and you might begin to judge them and think there's no way that they know God. There's no way that they love God. Look, blah, 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 blah. And you're looking at the outward appearance, but inside God's doing something. Inside God's doing something. But they ain't just maybe there yet when it comes maybe to dress standards or things like that. They're still coming along, but their heart is pure and trying to be holy before God. And the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, He's going to make manifest, He's going to bring to the light all the hidden things of the heart. And the counsels of the heart is going to come to light when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. And then shall every man have praise of God. Look, brethren, I'm not worried. Brethren, I don't want praises from men. Look what that last part of that verse says. Every man have praise of God. I want to have praise of God because that's where it matters. I'm serious, brethren. We got a lot of situations today in our independent Baptist circles where you got a lot of preachers. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. We'll make each other look good. I don't care about the praises of men. I want someday to have the praises of God. And I want to go to home to heaven with nothing hidden in darkness that will come to light. You see, brethren, if you're hiding something, if you're saved and you're hiding something, the Lord's going to have a way someday to bring that thing to light. And it's going to be revealed out. So it's best to get it right and made right today. Bring it to the light. Get it underneath. Get it right with the Lord Jesus Christ and go forward to where you could have praise of God. Take your Bible. Flip over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Someday before the throne, just like these young virgins, they were called in. They didn't know when their number was called in. The Bible doesn't show us that. But they knew at some point they were going to have to go before the king. Brethren, someday, if you're saved, you will have to go before the king. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 8. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 8. Look what the Bible says here. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So that shows you right there that a Christian can do either good or bad. There is there, brethren. We, like I explained Sunday, we still got this flesh we got to deal with, and this flesh can still do bad. And the Bible says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be called before that throne, and he's going to bring to light those things that we've done in this body, either the good or the bad. Flip over to chapter 10 real quick. 2 Corinthians 10, look at verse 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians 10, 17 and 18. Look what Paul says here through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. He says, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. That's the commending that you want. You want it from the Lord. It doesn't really mean much from men. But if it comes from God, it means something. In the military, you get a commendation medal. Sometimes if you do something, go on a special mission, do something, and you'll get medals. Men have gotten a Purple Heart. One of the greatest, if not the greatest medal you can get in the military is the Medal of Honor. There's no other higher honor than for a man or woman to get the Medal of Honor. But brethren, even though how special and how wonderful it is for somebody to get that medal, most of the time those men don't want it anyways because it was for their buddies. And so they think it should go to them. But brethren, that is a man commending another man. Think about the medal or what you can get from God Almighty if he commends you for what you've done down here. Brethren, there's no greater commendation than for God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, come on in. You are a good and faithful servant, and here's your reward because of the good things you did. And hopefully, as servants, we'll say, Lord, no, it's back to you because of what you did for me. But brethren, I don't want to go home to heaven empty-handed. You say, preacher, that won't happen. I'll just be glad because I'm saved. I'll just be glad because I'm saved and I just got heaven. I'm just glad just to be saved. I don't really care about rewards. Well, you're a fool. Think about this for a second. And my pastor talks about this. This is a true story. A number of years back, his sister kind of had some trouble with getting these concepts about a Christian doing good and bad and rewards and all that. And one time her house burned down when he was up there. And he went over to her and she was saved out of that house before that house went down, but it caught on fire. And she's standing there and he brought across a principle to her saying, your house burned up. Aren't you happy because you're saved? You should be rejoicing. You're saved. Aren't you happy? She's like, yeah, I'm happy that I'm saved. But I also got sorrow in my heart because I just lost everything that was in my home. And he says, that's exactly like your Christian walk. You can be saved. You're there. But when you're watching everything burn up in flames, especially if we're able to see what others have done and maybe they got something, and there ain't no going back saying, Lord, can I have another shot at this to get something going into eternity? No, now's the time. Now's the time. Now is the time to lay up treasures in heaven. Now, what? I'm going to close with these verses here. We're not going to get through this whole thing. What does God delight in? What does God delight in? Bear with me. We'll look at these last few scriptures I got up here. Look at Jeremiah chapter 9. So what is this king, these virgins are going in before the king, and he's going to choose the one that delights him. Look at Jeremiah, book of Jeremiah, chapter number 9, and verse number 23. Jeremiah 9, verse number 23. I know this is in the Old Testament, but I think you can still apply it to the church age where we're at right now, because I don't think the Lord's changed. Look at Jeremiah chapter 9, look at verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. So, and let not the rich man glory in his riches. You got three men there he's talking about. And he says, don't let the wise man think he's so smart because of his education and he glories in his wisdom. And then the Lord says, neither let a man that's mighty, strong, can lift 500 pounds and run a, I don't know how fast of a marathon, let him not glory in his might. And then you have another man at the very end there. It says, the Lord says, let not the rich man who's got $2 billion in his bank account glory in it. Look what he says in verse 24. But let him that glorieth glory in this. You say, what's the word glory means? It means to exalt with joy, to rejoice, to boast. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Are you saved? Do you know God, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness and in the earth? For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. You know what God delights in doing? God says he delights to show loving kindness, he delights in showing judgment, and he delights in showing righteousness. You say, preacher, what do those mean real quick? Loving kindness, that's pretty self-explanatory. Do you show love and kindness to others? Because God says he loves, or he exercises loving kindness, and he delights to show loving kindness. It delights him to do that. And then the other thing that delights God is judgment. You're going to have to judge things. This world puts across this whole thing like Planet Fitness. If you go to Planet Fitness, I'm sorry. But like this no judgment zone. Come on, man. This nonsense today. I'm gonna stop right there because I don't want to get in trouble. Don't judge. No judgment zone. Well, guess what? You can go in the gym real quick and see who spends a lot of time there. I'll just leave it at that. And you can see the person who has a New Year resolution and comes twice in 1 year with a subscription. Brethren, we got put in our minds today, you shouldn't judge. But God says, judge righteous judgment. Amen. And the Bible says, them that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And brethren, I'll just give a short example. If somebody you know is committing fornication, and you're a believer and they're a believer, you ought not to be fellowshipping with them. Amen. If somebody you know is committing adultery, look, I'm off the stage here. Somebody's committing adultery, you ought not to be fellowshipping with them. Amen. That's Bible. That's righteous judgment. That's righteous judgment. You ought not to be fellowshipping with them. Amen. If one's covetous, you don't have people up talking about that. But the Bible says if somebody's covetous, you ought not to have fellowship with them. Or a railer, someone that rails on other people or other things, you ought not to spend time with them. And you ought to say, brother, sister, that's not right. And if they're going to continue on with it, evil communications corrupt good manners. And it's going to affect your reward someday. Jesus, or Lord God Almighty, says he delights in loving kindness, he delights in judgment, and he delights in righteousness. What's righteousness? Just doing right. You want a deep spiritual walk with God? You want something deep from the Bible? Just do right. Just do right. And everything else will come into its proper place. But what God's looking for and what he delights in, and what he delights in, I should delight in, and that's loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. Take your Bible real quick, look at this next scripture, 1 Samuel 15:22. These last two scriptures here. 1 Samuel chapter 15, look at verse number 52. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. Brethren, you know what I tell my wife? I think it's impossible, Melanie. I just think it's impossible. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, I tell my wife and I tell the Lord almost every time after I preach that I'm going to calm down, and it never works. They said, I tell the Lord, can I just be a preacher that stands behind the pulpit? I think you'd have to tie me here. I can't sit still, but I do pray. I do pray to try to be a more calm type preacher, but if I need to get stirred up, get stirred up. But to be able to control myself, but it's hard. It's hard for me. I'm Italian. I got some Italian in me, so I got to move and I got to do things. 1 Samuel, look at 1 Samuel 15, 22. Look what the Bible says here. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. God says, I know you got to bring sacrifices in the Old Testament. He's like, I know you got to bring sacrifices, but I delight more in your obedience. In your obedience. Because look what happens when you're disobedient, verse number 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. You want another deep treasure to God, a deep thing from the Bible? Obey. Obey. Be obedient. If God shows you something, if God gives you something from this precious book, obey it. If the Holy Spirit is dealing with you about something, obey him. Don't rebel against it. Don't be stubborn, because that's what the devil did. He disobeyed God, and he was a rebel, and it was as witchcraft and idolatry. Don't be a rebel. Just be obedient to what God shows you and God teaches you. Lastly, look over at Micah. The book of Micah, chapter number 6. Micah chapter 6, right after the book of Jonah, if you can find it. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. Look at Micah, chapter number 6. And look at verse number 6. Micah 6, verse number 6. Kind of goes along what we looked there with 1 Samuel with Saul and Samuel. Look what the Bible says here, Micah chapter 6 and verse number 6. It says, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 10,000s of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. There's three more things. Be faithful, love loving kindness, love judgment, love righteousness, do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. And brethren, if you start, look, too many people today, I'm getting ready to close up. Too many people today, they want the deep things of God. Give me something deep out of the Bible. Brethren, that's deep right there. Just try to walk one day in mercy. Just try one day, the whole day, just be completely humble to every situation you face. And you'll see how hard that is to imply. And we're not even going to throw in there patience. We won't even get to patience. Brethren, I'm telling you what the deep things of God are. A lot of people overlook it because they want some special golden nugget out of the Bible that nobody's ever seen before. But look what God says to somebody in the Old Testament, what he puts the emphasis on, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. And brethren, I believe as we close out tonight, as I get ready to pray here, that if you'll do some of these things here, the perfect will of God will open up before you in your life. Just keep doing right. And you'll grow closer to God, and you'll do those things that he delights in. And you'll be laying up, I believe, as sure as I'm standing here tonight, you'll be laying up treasures there in heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, thank you for your mercy and your grace and your goodness. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity tonight. Thank you for everyone that came out of their busy schedules to come out on a Wednesday evening, dear God. I know a lot of people are probably tired. They're wore out. They worked today, dear God. But thank you, dear Lord, that they were willing to come out here this evening. So, Lord, I pray tonight, dear God, that we all, myself included, Lord, first at the line, will learn something from these things found in your holy book. Lord, help me to apply these things in my life, dear God. Help me, Lord, like those virgins were striving for, to do those things that you delight in, dear God. And someday, Lord, I can maybe hear you call my name, Lord, and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So, Lord, help us with these matters, dear God. Help us to apply them. Help us just not to be hearers of the word, but, Lord, help us to strive to implement some of these things. And, Lord, as we implement them, dear God, I pray you'd encourage us during the times that we fail and fall flat on our face. God, help us to have the character to make it right, get back up, and go forward with you. Lord, help us not to get discouraged, but stay faithful. And Lord, we'll give you the glory and honor and praise for it. Lord, I pray now you'd, Lord, just help us now as we go forward. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.